Offside.
Proti cekinom v davčno ruto. Kenijski predsednik William Ruto je finančni zakon, ki je povod za nastanek enega najmnožičnejših protestniških gibanj v zgodovini samostojne države, vrnil v parlamentarno obravnavo. Parlament je zakon, s katerim vlada namerava obdavčiti storitve in dobrine v uporabi slehernika, potrdil včeraj, manjkal pa mu je le še podpis predsednika. V skladu s proceduro lahko parlament zakon zdaj znova spremeni in skuša s tem pomiriti ljudstvo. Malo po včerajšnji potrditvi zakona so v parlament vdrli protestniki, ki so za kratek čas zauzeli sejni dvorani zgornjega in spodnjega doma. Policija je proteste, ki po vsej državi potekajo več kot teden dni, skušala nasilno zatreti. Simon Kigondu, predsednik kenijske medicinske organizacije, je zatrdil, da je policija samo včeraj ubila vsaj 13 protestnikov in dodal, da ni še nikdar videl take stopnje nasilja proti neoboroženim ljudem. Ljudstvo je napadlo tudi več zasebnih domovanj poslancev vladajoče koalicije Kenija Kwanza, v prevodu najprej Kenija. Obrambno ministrstvo je v pomoč policiji na ulice sklenilo poslati vojsko, kar je v skladu z ustavo danes potrdil še parlament. Pri protestih se je po besedah Vini Mitula, politologinje z Univerze v Nairobiju, novo to, da jih ne organizira parlamentarna opozicija. Večino protestnikov sestavljajo mladi Kenijci, ki jih mediji naslavljajo kot pripadnike generacije Z.
I think it is the biggest protest movement. I've seen all these movements from when we fought for constitution and all this. I've seen all this. This is the biggest movement, even just within the city. And we've never had parliament stormed. Even in the Saba Saba movement was very powerful. We've never had parliament stormed, people getting into parliament and, you know, members of parliament being evacuated out of parliament. This is the first time. And it's massive. It was massive at every corner of the city. And then across the counties again, it was massive. Even where they went overboard, where they burnt assets or whether they looted assets, it's all over. And of course, previously there was always tying this protest to opposition leader, the former Prime Minister Raila Odinga. That has been always the profiling of Raila as the one who is pushing or behind all protests. But this is a protest with no head. Contrary to what we've always seen in Kenya, this being led by opposition this time around is being, I can't even say led, it's not led. Is spontaneous and is by the youth. So it's all over the country, all the counties, people's youth are out there. And I think yesterday also had not just youth, a few others, but the last week one was purely youth. But even yesterday, majority, I could almost say 90% plus, are very young people.
Po včerajšnjem udoru v parlament je predsednik Ruto protestnike obtožil zločina izdaje države. Zatrtje protestov z vojsko pri tem ni dober znak, opozarja sogovornica.
That's not a very good thing. Some of us who have done political science, we don't get military out into the streets. They have their role to protect the borders. If the protests are on Thursday, as is being said, it might look pretty nasty, maybe. We cannot explain how the police is shooting. We can just blame them because in the shooting that happened before, which was not yesterday, they were shooting from the back. If protests have been allowed and people are protesting and you throw a tear gas and they are running away, why would you shoot them? Of course, the president's speech, when he had it last evening, he implicated treason. Yeah, you know, a mention of treason normally is not a good mention at all. So he mentioned that the people infiltrating. In his statement, it was like, it is not this youth. There are other people, but there are no other people for sure. There are no other people. All that, even the youth that was talking right from the parliament at the gallery, saying we are here, I'm now talking, you know. He's just a youth. There is no infiltration.
Kot je pojasnila Mitula, protestov samo s silo ne bo mogoče končati, saj nimajo vodi, ki bi jih lahko zaprli ali umorili, ampak so heterogeni. Situacijo, v kateri potekajo protesti, opiše kenijska državljanka Natalie Sifuma.
What has been happening over the last three weeks, I would say, is Kenyans really coming together to exercise something that is their constitutional right. Unfortunately, that right has, brought about certain consequences. And so that's the moment that we're in as a country and as people of Kenya. Let me just say that it's been a moment of us seeing what digital activism looks like in a country like Kenya. So in essence, it's shown us how things like, you see now, for instance, as you know, a finance bill was proposed, and in the proposal of it was really just about expanding or rather just increasing more burden on Kenyans. It just comes down to frustration, the cost of living just keeps getting higher and higher and people are not earning enough to meet that. So it does get to a point where people are frustrated. And so you just then see the power of people banding together, because it's one person complaining and then maybe choosing to do something about it and, making a call on X, former Twitter, and then people just gather together and see the sense in it or share these same feelings of, frustration. And there's been many Kenyans who've been doing that online for some time now. But I think at this point, because there's a frustration around the era of the country, it was just like, yeah, let's band together.
Čeprav protesti še nimajo skupne ideologije ali vzpostavljene pozitivne ideje nove ureditve oblasti, jim kenijski levičari že skušajo pripisovati revolucionaren potencial, a za zdaj so usmerjeni proti finančnemu zakonu in proti vladi. Ta v očeh protestnikov nesmotrno porablja denar, ki ga zdaj hoče več zbrati pri ljudeh. Podrobneje Mitula.
There is a feeling that the expenditures are not well accounted for. There is lack of accountability and sometimes abuse of resources. So when people weigh how the resources that are already been leveraged are being used vis-a-vis what is being asked for, there is a feeling that is too much tax on us and we are not getting good, returns for the tax that we are paying. So that is really the contention. It's been triggered by the finance bill, but now as people protest against the finance bill, they are bringing so many other issues, like how we spend the resources that we have. They are raising issues of governance and efficiency of governance. And those are larger issues than the finance bill. So for now, I think if the finance bill would be withdrawn, of course, the protests shall have left something that might live on. Who knows? It might live on because people have seen their ability to pressurize government and to change things. So it has built a civic culture. Definitely, these protests have built a civic culture of questioning, because the youth have gone into, these are youths that are not even, they're youth, but they are very educated, they are elite, they know what they are doing, and they are extracting like the budgets and trying to even, put in the internet so that people can see in social media, what does this office spend? And are these expenditures worth it, considering that we don't have resources in the country? So there is a lot of civic education going on with the protests, alongside the protest, and unearthing how expenditures are done, trying to also so kind of expose citizens to the finance bill, which people didn't know. They've translated into various local languages, and these are running in social platforms, and people are able to listen and to see.
Finančni zakon je po argumentih vlade nujen za zmanjšanje dolga države. Kenija je namreč globoko zadolžena, glavnino zunanjega dolga ima predvsem do kitajskih posojilodajalcev. Prav tako je vzhodnoafriška država v programu Mednarodnega denarnega sklada, ki v zameno za posojila prigovarja k dvigu davčnih prihodkov, torej k višjim davkom. Med drugim je to vlada Viljama Ruta, ki je oblast prevzel pred dvema letoma, skušala storiti z uvedbo davka na dodano vrednost na kruh. A to je po protestih obljubila vreči iz zakona. Rama Hnjang, kenijski novinar kitajske globalne televizijske mreže, znane kot CGTN, povzame, kaj je vlada odstranila iz finančnega zakona.
The idea of imposing 16% VAT on bread, which is a pretty common commodity around here, that was kicked out. There was a proposal to impose what the state was calling an eco-levy, which would have hit diapers, it would have hit sanitary towels, it would have hit batteries as well for electric vehicles and hybrids, if you essentially wanted to switch over from something that uses fossil fuels onto something electric or hybrid. The initial draft of the bill would have imposed a tax on that, which would have essentially defeated the whole purpose of trying to convince people to switch to means of transportation that have lower emissions. It was rather ironic that the idea was dropped in the first place, because the initial argument from the state was, look, we need these taxes in place so we can essentially give room for domestic processing, domestic manufacturing of these items to essentially take place. But the flip side of it was, hang on, but how much domestic processing manufacturing capacity do we actually have? And the chair of the finance committee eventually admitted, well, right now it's not much, so therefore we really shouldn't be imposing these taxes at this point in time.
Namesto tega skuša vlada z ločenim zakonom uvesti nov davek na energijo.
Roughly 45% of what Kenyans pay at the pump for diesel, for petrol, is essentially just taxes. And one component of that, the road development levy, is essentially used to pay for the cost of building roads, building road networks, and so on and so forth. So the argument that the Finance Committee made to the House was, if we're going to essentially remove some of these taxes to plug the shortfall that we're going to have here, we want to raise taxes on energy.
Nyang povzame še ključne ukrepe, ki v zakonu ostajajo.
There's a railway development levy that is in place. So on anything that we import that is going to be used in the country, say, for example, I import a smartphone that I'm going to use in the country, or a tablet, or the headphones that I'm using now to have this conversation. Initially, I was going to have to pay 1.5% of the value of the item as a railway development levy. They've raised that, in fact, effective 1st of July to 2.5%. There are also other ideas around the question around eTIMS. eTIMS is an electronic tax invoice management system. And as part of efforts to try and expand the tax net as much as possible, eTIMS is designed to essentially rope in pretty much even the small-scale trader. So if I take, for example, a ride on a motorcycle, that motorcycle taxi guy essentially needs to provide a receipt to me that has gone through the tax agency's system. Unfortunately, that system is pretty buggy. There are days when it just doesn't work. And the initial proposal had been that, well, you know, you can't just impose this on every single business in the country, because if you're a one-man operation or a really small SME, the cost of compliance is extraordinarily high. So one of the things that essentially tried to do was to say, look, if your annual turnover is below 1 million shillings, which is roughly $90,000. It's roughly $9,000, actually. $9,000 a year, then, you know, we're going to sort of exempt you from actually having to file anything on eTIMS. There was also a proposed penalty in there that said, you know, if you don't file anything on eTIMS, we're going to hit you with a penalty of the better part of $20,000 a month. That has been lowered as well to around $5,000. Still punitive and still fairly onerous, but I'm not exactly sure how that would actually make the case for people to integrate further into the tax system. You know, this is one of those classic situations in fiscal policy where you're going to catch a lot more flies with honey than you would with, you know, more punitive measures.
Ukrepi, ki jih je opisal Nyang, denimo dvig davka za razvoj železnic, se na prvi pogled ne zdijo tako veliko breme za kenijske davkoplačevalce, da bi morali udreti v parlament. A v kontekstu padca kupne moči prebivalstva od leta 2019 do leta 2023 za 10%, je za Kenijce vsak nov prispevek državi močno vprašljiv. Kaj vse je prizadelo kenijsko prebivalstvo v zadnjih 4 letih, opiše Nyang.
In je pa the COVID-19 pandemic. You probably know someone who's lost their job, was out of work probably for the better part of a year, if not 6 months. You've also been hit in the same period of time by the worst drought this country's ever had in 40 years. And then you swung from that to some of the worst flooding in 6 or 7 decades in 2023. Sorry, no, in 2024, not 2023. So you have all of these things that are happening at the same time. And progressively, your incomes, your real purchasing power has also fallen. So if you look at the official data, for example, from the Kenya National Bureau of Statistics in the formal sector, and Kenya's formal sector is not big. I mean, this is a country of about 50-odd million people, but the private sector alone is the better part of 2.5 million people. If you essentially take the average annual income that people are taking home, adjusted for inflation, in 2023, it was nearly 10% lower than it was in 2019. So on one hand, your purchasing power has been eroded. Your ability to find a job, to have an income, opportunities for your kids to have access to a decent education, all of that is going down. And at the same time, from a social perspective, public services are simply not working as they should, right? We've seen reports where, you know, hospitals have run out of vaccines for kids. We've seen incidents where school kids don't have their classrooms built as they should be. And at the same time, the politicians were saying, no, we must impose these taxes because we have debts that we need to pay. Those same politicians are running around gaudily flaunting enormous amounts of cash that they cannot explain where they got in the public space. So obviously people are going to get extraordinarily angry because as they see it, you're essentially saying, I'm going to take more money from this diminishing pile of income that you have, and I'm just going to go and waste it partying, going to Dubai, running around in Range Rovers and Mercedes G-Class SUVs, but I'm going to essentially squeeze more money out of you.
Ruto ustraja, da bo revne podjetja in državni dolg rešil, ne da bi državo dodatno zadolževal. Poskus uvajanja novih davkov moramo videti v tej luči. Že lani je vlada uspela dvigniti ali uvesti nov davek na treh področjih. Gre za prispevek za socialno varnost, zdravstveni prispevek in davek za socialna stanovanja. Prebivalstvo ni pričakovalo, da bo Ruto še letos poskušal uvesti dodatne davke, opiše Mitula.
His ultimate is that he might reach a stage where he doesn't need to take loans. I don't know how viable and practical that is, considering that there are billions of loans that have to be paid anyway. So it's like a double edge. Yes, we need to pay taxes and people do agree. The issue has been the way these taxes have been implemented. If probably the government had taken an incremental approach, maybe it wouldn't have backfired the way it has done. But the thing is, last year there was a raft of taxes put. They increased the Social Security Fund, which people were paying it anyway. Employed people were paying it anyway, but it was minimal and kind of closed. But now it has been increased to a percentage of a salary. They are also increasing the National Health Insurance Fund. And then there is the housing levy. Those were big, big issues last year. And I think the one that people protested more than anything was the housing levy, because he wants to provide social housing, which is a good thing. And the houses are already being built. They are being built. Some of them, I think, are almost ready already. People are being charged. If you work, you are charged a housing levy for social housing, but you don't qualify for that housing probably, but you don't need it. Sometimes you don't need the house, but still you have to pay that levy.
Cilj Ruta je torej vsaj na papirju plemenit, pomagati revnim. A denimo uvedba davka za socialna stanovanja, o kateri še zmeraj odločajo sodišča, do končne odločitve pa Kenijci davek plačujejo, ni privedla do množične izgradnje dostopnih stanovanj.
It hasn't really changed it. In fact, they're actually not making that much progress in it. If you look at some of the reports from the Auditor General, they're at a point where they've collected all this cash, something to the tune of around 20 or so billion Kenyan shillings. And because you've got this flood of money coming in because you've essentially acquired it compulsorily from taxpayers, but you don't have as much cash going out in terms of new projects 24/7. So what they've ended up doing is literally turning that pool of cash that they have and reinvesting it into government bonds, so T-bills and treasury bonds and so on and so forth. The official line is that, look, this is just normal treasury management, which on paper it is. But the counter argument that most economists here would make is, hang on a minute, if you have this pool of 20 billion shillings that you're essentially using at the moment, that's just sitting captive, controlled by government, those are returns that could be far better utilized in the hands of businesses. In the hands of businesses, which right now the government owes something in the order of 640 billion Kenyan shillings in unpaid bills, some of those going back several years, it could be far better utilized in the hands of households, which, as we pointed out, are making a lot less money. The purchasing power between 2019 and 2023 fell by the better part of 10%. So essentially, it's a cash grab.
Na oblast se je Ruto zavihtel prav z diskurzom o tem, da bo pomagal tako imenovanim hustlerjem, torej mladim brez rednih služb, ki večinoma prihajajo iz revnih družin. V zahodnem diskurzu gre za generacijo Z. Mitula poudarja, da je pravzaprav večina kenijskega prebivalstva hustlerskega, prav oni pa so na prvih frontah protestov.
It is like a mounting experience of increasingly taxing people. I think if it was done like last year, we had so much taxes, maybe this year we could have had a bit of a breather. But instead, they have identified so many, many, many other aspects of taxes that they want to levy. And then, of course, the youth are largely jobless, besides being very elite and very educated. A lot of graduates, a lot of diploma holders have nothing. They are not working. They are not employed. So for them, again, they have other tensions which are just running parallel to the tensions that people who are employed and are complaining about tax, at the end of the day, it still hits on the government. Of course, the current government thinks that it has goodwill for the people. I think this is the contradiction. It really feels it has goodwill for the people. It feels it wants to turn around the country. It came up on the note of changing the situation for the downtrodden, the poor, who the so-called hustlers in their language, that this is a hustler government where anybody who is downtrodden is going to see goodies. But those downtrodden are not seeing these goodies. The hustlers are now feeling that they are not getting what they expected, because also they had a lot of hope in this government that it will turn around things, you know, on their, but they are also being taxed. They are also being taxed in a way, the tax system is being structured in a way that they are being taxed, whether direct or indirectly, they are also being taxed. So it's not just the workers that are being taxed, it's only our tax are higher and more assured than the other informal taxes that are very difficult to even collect.
Offside je pripravil Martin.
Offside.